Hey there, After Buzzers. This is Supergirl, Season 2, Episode 14, Homecoming. Get ready for some Evil Dead.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah. Get ready to dance with us. Welcome back. This is After Buzz. I'm your host, Tari J. Miller, and I'm joined by a wonderful panel like every week, Stephanie Winger.
Hi, guys. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stephanie Winger.
Lex Michael.
I am all over social media at TheLexMichael.
Joelle Monique.
Hey, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique, and every week at BlackGirlNerds.com.
Lucretia Lyons!
Hey guys, I'm Lucretia Lyons. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
And she's manning that shit! Know what I'm saying? Got double L on the chat skis! Ba 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 ba! I'm a radio host! Ba 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 ba! Okay, anyways.
I just feel like it's going a real weird direction before we even get into the
show. Maybe. Yeah. Also, you can find me at Tari J, that's TARIJAY, and on the ones and twos, pew, 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 welcome back. Okay, that's enough of that. Yes, we had a really action-packed episode, so we'll get right into it with the return of Jeremiah Danvers.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll do this.
Lucretia's got my back. what did you guys think of the return of Dean Cain?
At any point, did anyone believe he wasn't up to something suspicious?
No. That was clear, I feel like, throughout the episode. Maybe our chat will feel differently, but I felt like I was pretty clear that he was not a good guy.
They were laying on the, I love you guys so much, you're everything to me, I'm so happy to be back, and I just want to be better stuff a little bit. Thick.
Well, before Jeremiah even opened his mouth, the rescue from the truck was just wicked easy. I was like, oh, I've never had anything happen this easy for you. This is clearly a trap.
Yeah, and it was nice to see that Mon-El is the one that's like, hey guys, yeah, this doesn't seem right, because they always make him the dumb one, but he was the smart guy in this episode.
Yeah, I would have liked it if Jeremiah wasn't evil just to mess with Mon-El. episode of him being like, "You're such an evil bastard," and then at the end he's like, "I've been planning this party for you guys this whole time." All these puppies, and Mono accidentally kills the puppies.
Tari,
it's a good episode.
You looked really brokenhearted when it was pretty clear that Jeremiah was evil. I feel like you were really holding that into your heart. You were like, "It's just gonna be a party. It's just gonna be a party." And I saw your whole spirit break when it was like, "Nope, Jeremiah's stealing things."
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's always a bummer. Well, because. Like the characters, I am very attached to Jeremiah.
Are you?
I have the blinders on.
When did you become attached to Jeremiah?
Is this a new thing?
I became attached just in time for this transition.
Somewhere between the first scene of tonight's episode and like the third scene of tonight's episode, I really felt a bond for
Yes, very much so.
We were all there.
Kind of like how I expected Mon-El to have that bond right away. Aren't you glad he's back? We've never met, so I couldn't have missed him, but okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mon-El happened to be literally the only person who was suspicious of Jeremiah. And I think that something I felt throughout the beginning of Jeremiah's pre-evil arc was that everyone was being very light on the suspicion. Like, I get that he was a very important person in all of their lives, but no one really stopped to think that there could be something fishy about it.
There is something I appreciate about it, though, because as obvious as it seemed to me and maybe the rest of you guys and maybe some of you guys in the chat who were watching, it's their dad. They got their dad back. So I can appreciate that the emotion is going to cloud their rational thinking a little bit. And you can sit there and go, well, why don't they see this obvious thing that's right in front of them? But it makes, you know, a real human being situation, it's entirely feasible that they would overlook it because they are so happy to see Dean Cain again. And when are we not happy to see Dean Cain again?
Both the 4400 and, is it The Leftovers? Left Behind? I can't remember the name of this series. The HBO thing.
Leftovers.
Yeah, it is Leftovers. It just sounds like what's left over for dinner and it's weird. Anyway, deal with this idea of, like, the immediate absence of death, and then 4400 deals with the return of that really well. And I think that for the amount of time that Supergirl had to explore that idea that they did a really good job. I kind of wish their mom had that really great scene with him where she's like, look, we can't just get back together. Like, it's been 14 years. I don't know you. You don't know me. Like, let's take it slow. And I kind of wish she had maybe had the same talk with her daughters. Like, your dad might be changed. Like, maybe he's, like, he's been a prisoner of war. Like, maybe he needs some psych evaluations or something.
I had so many feelings about that scene. Yeah, during that scene, I watched your facial expression change drastically.
Well, so I thought, so we had that wonderful celebration scene where we get everyone introducing their significant others to Jeremiah, and he's like, oh, man, it's great to be back with everyone. And then immediately, Eliza turns to him and is like, bro, I don't know you. Yep. You don't know me. We ain't never gonna be the same again.
I feel like she was on, you know, like, it came from somewhere. Like, he was like, I'm just really excited to get this back on track. And she was like, that's creepy. I haven't known you for 14 years.
Right, but it was so abrupt. Let him enjoy the time that they had.
Not even less even for me, it's less about letting him enjoy the time and more, even though I agree that everything she was saying within that scene made perfect sense, it felt like a really hard, abrupt left turn.
Yeah.
Just tonally. It's like, we're doing this now. Okay. And there were a couple of moments like that tonight that worked because this cast is incredible. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple of moments where I feel like, we're doing this now? Okay.
I think it was that they were trying to jam-pack so much into this episode. You had a lot going on, and every scene there was like a purpose to it, and I feel like editing this episode must have been particularly tough.
I kind of wish this had been a two-parter, now that you mention about like how compact it was. Mm-hmm. I really feel like, taking Tari's point of, it would have been great if we'd gotten a fake out and been like, haha, you're wrong, Mon-El, and then Mon-El next week could have been like, no, look.
It was really an evil party.
Yeah, exactly.
These are robot puppies.
Yeah, I personally felt like this was definitely one of the more, I guess, predictable episodes of the season in terms of, like, I feel like they've had a lot of good twists and turns, and tonight was not a particularly twisty and turny episode.
Yeah.
No, but it's to their credit, I think, that the show can play out in an episode pretty much exactly how you expect it's going to play out, and yet all of it still, for me, works. Even with a lot of real hard lefts or rights throughout, I think ultimately it all comes together pretty nicely.
I agree with you. A very enjoyable episode. And I'm not saying that at all. It's certainly enjoyable to watch. I just felt like sometimes...
Why do you hate this episode?
No.
Yeah!
What?
That's like a hard left turn out of nowhere.
I was like, you guys are just really...
That's my episode you're talking about.
Impressive. I like surprises in episodes, and I felt like this was not a particularly surprising episode.
Either one of the family or you're not!
Yeah.
Yes. So, wow, I'm getting... really attacked on the panel.
I've got a few comments in the chat about the Eliza scene. Jared and Jamie both saying here that it felt like she was going to say, well, she's seeing someone. Why would she not? It's been 14 years.
Yeah, I thought that.
But they didn't really go that direction then, so that was kind of interesting. But maybe she was, and she just wanted to break it to him gently.
I also think, to your earlier point, Tari, where, like, let him enjoy the day, I feel like you maybe don't want to give, again, someone who's just been through a whole bunch of false expectations about where this relationship is going.
Right.
And she's like, she even said immediately after, like, I'm here for you, I'm not going anywhere, but it might take me some time. Like, we're not going to go right back. The last 14 years happened, and I felt like that was maybe the most real and valid reaction to his return.
Yeah,
sure.
I get that. And, yeah. And you could also imagine that maybe he was, like, sliding a hand on her thigh, like, as he was saying.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're gonna spend some time apart for a little. Yeah. We're just gonna really, like, ease into this.
They cut that part out.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's been 14 years, girl.
And we're like, nah. Anyways, so we talked about Alex a little bit, and I feel like she had the biggest... the biggest arc when it came to Jeremiah this episode. Mm-hmm. She had the strongest feelings, which you understand because for Kara, he's her adoptive father. And, you know, you can imagine that Eliza and him have their own issues to work out. But, like, for Alex, she's always been daddy's little girl.
So trusting of him at the beginning of the episode. Mm-hmm. You just, like, can do no wrong. You're right, daddy's little girl. Like, complete trust.
Yeah.
Was anyone else surprised? Like, I kind of expected Kara to be the more sentimental one. when it came to their father, just because Alex is always, we see her being so strong and kind of independent, and I like seeing her like this, but I was a little shocked. It was a little twist for me. Did you guys expect Alex to be the more sentimental one?
I did, because that's her dad. As opposed to Kara, he's still just an adoptive father who was absent for 14 years, so most of her life here on Earth. So, yeah, that's I totally thought it was Alex, and it was so Revertigo, where, you know, she just kind of turned into a child when Daddy was around. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to see that side of Alex, because, as you say, she is strong.
Yeah, even Kara, too, had a very hard time accepting it initially. She basically had to have evidence put directly in front of her eyes to go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah, and, yes. I agree. Though I like that we got to see Alex having to process each piece of this, and even at the end, she still has those feelings for her father. We get to the point, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, because I can do that, because I'm the lead host. I do what I please. We get to the point where she chases him down, and she has him at gunpoint, and he's like, bro, you can kill me, or you can let me go. Those are your two choices. Those aren't her two choices, but those are the two choices he gave her.
Right.
And even then, her sentiments get the best of her, and she lets him go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Was anyone else rooting for her to, like, stun gun her dad? I was like, she can set that phaser to stun, can't she? Does it have to be killed?
I wanted a bigger realization from her, this guy truly, like, I felt like we got her kind of changing pace, but I wanted that, like, a bigger moment there, I think. Mm.
Couldn't you have just shot him in his non-robot shoulder?
Yes.
Or something? Yes. Or is, I mean, maybe more of him is cybernetically enhanced, but couldn't you just aim for the other side?
Yeah, well, that may be Eliza's reservation, is maybe some more parts of him were cybernetically enhanced.
I like to think
enhanced,
that she's,
though.
Yeah. I like to think that she's dating a Green Lantern. That's what I hope for her.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, one can only hope. One can only dream.
Bring me Jon Stewart.
Or, like, no, like she said, like, one of the, like, even, like, alien ones. Like, I want her to be hooking up with, like, Abin Sur. Yeah. I feel like, or, like, Killawog.
That would be insane.
Killawog would be so perfect for the Danvers family.
Yeah, like, the next family gathering, she brings Killawog to meet
yes!
the family.
Yes!
What's up?
Yes. That would be insane. I think, just circling back, I think that even a shot to the shoulder would have been betraying her feelings.
Sure.
Sure.
I mean, yes. There's a much bigger emotional reason than a logistical one that she did not do that.
Right. Yeah, guys, I'm not big on emotion, but that seems like an emotional thing.
You sound like me.
From an emotional standpoint, like, I don't know. My loyalties always lie with the sibling. And I'm like, he took something, and at that point we didn't know what it was, but he's seen the inside of your operations. He knows codes. I just feel like letting him run back to Cadmus is probably going to hurt you more. And again, like, you just lost your dad. Like, my dad is still alive. If you thought your dad was dead and then he came back, you know, like, what a literal miracle. Like, that's amazing. So I get the emotional beats of why she wouldn't.
Yeah.
But as an agent... girl.
Yeah, I love that. Abin Sur says, not for Thea, it's not hard. It's like, that's my man. Getting shot by his kid.
Yes.
Go ahead. Lex, you have
thoughts?
It was
like, we so close to like a Point Break moment. Where
I was gonna bring that up, but go ahead.
No, it was very close. She didn't fire her gun into the air and go, but it was the same basic emotional scenario,
right.
I suppose.
Of course. You're so bonded, but, you know, you're not using a bullet gun.
It would have been great for her to empty out the clip. The laser clip.
She's there for like an hour because it's like an infinite battery.
It never runs out!
Alex, it's okay. It's okay. He's not here anymore.
The sun's up the next day. It's like, we tried to tell her it's solar powered, but she's not. She's just yelling and yelling and yelling.
Oh, man. Okay, so I want to rewind to a moment that we had between Mon-El and Jeremiah when they're at the celebration party.
Yes.
And Mon-El's been hammering it home that he's suspicious. No one believes him. Everyone, like,
Not the best time to choose your moment, Mon-El. In the middle of a family gathering?
To be fair, he was trying to keep quiet until Kara was like, yo, you best say something nice to my father.
Which also felt like a little bit of another hard turn.
Yeah.
Like, they're. I felt like they're selling this moment incredibly well, but mm-hmm. I feel like the moment itself, it's like, oh, we got here.
I disagree
quick.
Wholeheartedly, as I've seen many a couple fight, and the girl just be like, I am done. Just be nice. Just you be nice right now because I can't take your meanness any longer. And that actually felt like a regression of Kara before the relationship, before they were like, and even Mon-El's like at the very beginning when he walks into, and he's like, oh, we're a couple. Like both of them regressed way harder than the beginning of this episode,
like
back to their
previous
selves.
Yeah.
But I totally love that moment when he straight up walked in there and was like, we're dating, woo! He's just like, thinking there was no consequence to that. And it was him being excited. It was cute.
I loved the HR follow-up to that.
HR?
That was amazing. It was just like such a self-aware moment.
I also I'm fascinated by the notion that Supergirl now has to take a sexual harassment seminar.
I hope you see that.
Me too.
I'd watch that episode, or even like a mini webisode where she's just sitting there for hours, and they're like, "You cannot touch her butt." Anyway,
I hope it's just a video too. Like nobody's teaching the class; it's just her alone in a room with a video.
But so this moment between Jeremiah and Mon-El, where he basically threatens him by going, "Yo, I know who you are, and Kara wouldn't like who you are," which kind of feeds into our theories about who Mon-El is. Him also mentioning the fact that his father wasn't someone that he wasn't a good man.
Yeah, right. We're starting to get that storyline. I feel like they kind of teased it at the beginning of this season, and it's been a long time coming. And I think we're finally getting there, that we're going to get that reveal of what we've been.
Well, that's also been spoiled now by the news, and like we don't have to spoil it here if you don't have the internet.
We'll wait for the spoiler wall of the predictions.
Like it's this, right. Guys, just like that,
like
we're physically uncomfortable while
of
we
course.
Say.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's like we're just about to vomit. Anyways, I thought that was an interesting moment. Another interesting moment I found was when we had that sweet, sweet fight between does he have a special name? Cyber Jeremiah and Martian Manhunter?
Mm-hmm. I like to call him Terminator Dad.
Terminator Dad?
Yes. It's a lot.
Paterminator.
Paterminator.
Oh, you did it, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you. Hashtag Paterminator. Paterminator.
That's Arnold Schwarzenegger's new movie, guys.
I also thought that was a really fun fight. I just wanted to say that. If you guys had any remarks about it, go ahead and speak about it, or otherwise I'll move on.
Well, like, that's a rough, tough metal arm. He punched out the Martian Manhunter. That's not terrifically easy to do.
We had a lot of Superman kind of images in here. The most obvious one being the train, but for a moment, as the Terminator is fighting, he does this arm thing where he, like, shields him. Like, that is a straight-up Superman pose. And I was, for a hot second, I'm like, okay, this is hard to describe. Is this the oh God, is this the Hank Henshaw new Superman disguise is Jeremiah? I thought they were gonna go some weird Inception level like villain for a second. I was very concerned.
I'd be very excited about that, but I feel like this episode, again, with the jam pack, they were not going there.
When his arms started getting blown off, I really thought he was gonna take off his face. I was like, it's happening.
But also the fact that what he was doing was a little Superman-y, it could just be a nod to the fact that, of course, Dean Cain played Superman on Lois and Clark: New Adventures of Superman. And also that scene where he's talking to Eliza is doubly fun because, of course, she was Supergirl in the movie that they made a long time ago. That's super weird.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to that fight, one thing that I was really a fan of was watching Martian Manhunter phase in this episode. When
he phased
through the truck at one point, but when he's phasing around in the fight, I was like, this is amazing. It was more of this.
But Supergirl phases through the truck, right? And then he phases right behind as he punches?
Supergirl makes a wall of fire, and then he punches the ground, creating a shockwave, and then phases through the truck that is about to crash into him.
Okay. Yes.
So it is the most, it's probably one of the most comic booky fighty things that we've seen this season.
I want more of this. I want him doing it around the office for no reason at all. I don't care if it makes sense. I just want to see more of him phasing around rooms.
Yeah.
I think it would make the DEO more fun.
I would like more of him in his Green Lantern form, pure Green Lantern. Sorry. Martian Manhunter form, period. Like when you watch the JLA and he's just on the deck, like, just always as Green... Oh my gosh, I'm gonna get it. Martian Manhunter. It's just a lot of fun to see him in his alien form and then use Hank Henshaw as a disguise.
Right.
You know what I mean? As opposed to always walking around as Hank Henshaw.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see more Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, as much as I love looking at David Harrowitz's beautiful face, I'd like to see Martian Manhunter, too. It's pretty cool.
And he feels the same way. He wants to see, he likes the makeup.
Yeah. And Option_0 on Twitter sent me, the fight against John was stupid. He should have never lost a fist fight because he can phase. But he didn't want to phase on his friend. That was my part. He didn't want to phase on his friend, guys.
Yay, friendship goals.
Till the end. man.
I will not phase my head around your fist. That's love.
Yeah. Speaking of love, you know what I love?
No.
I love hosting this show.
Aww.
Do you guys love hosting this show?
I actually do.
Oh my gosh.
It's
probably one of my favorite things that I do throughout the week.
Yeah.
What about you guys in the audience? Do you love what we're doing here? You know how you could show us that love? You could go on to iTunes and you can hit those stars. Give us a sweet, sweet rating. Make 5 stars if you love what we're doing. 4 stars if you think that there's something that we're not doing that you don't like, and then we'll cry about it, but it's fine. Don't worry about it, I guess. But maybe you should do a 5-star because that's real good. Anyways, and then leave a comment if you have a chance. It only takes, 30 seconds.
And we read all of them.
We really do.
True. In a sexy voice.
Oh, yeah. We read them here on the air. And if you're watching on YouTube, which is another thing that people watch, you can hit that thumbs up and also leave a comment there.
It is.
And then
just
our producers will look at those thumbs up and those comments and be like, people love this show. Let's keep it on the air.
Yep.
And then sponsors and guests will go, look at this show. It's on iTunes and it's on YouTube and people love it. Let's sponsor that show. Let's get on that show if I'm a guest. Yep, that's how that works.
Sure. Who doesn't want to be a part of that?
Indeed. And we get all of that through you, the audience.
And we do have a sexy review.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
It's sexy review time.
It's time for the
You know what that means,
review.
Engineer.
Dun, dun.
Yep, that sweet, sweet, smooth jazz.
Yeah.
Yay!
I love Charm. 5 stars. 7206S says, Tari just makes me laugh. When he went off on the Twitter's comments, Tyra Banks style, over the Luther's promo, and then had to apologize on the next podcast, I died laughing.
I like it when Tari embarrasses himself. 5 stars.
Yeah.
So
what I'm here for.
People really appreciate salty Tari. Tari might be the salt bae of AfterBuzz.
Salty
and that's
Tari
okay.
is my favorite.
Oh, man. Thank you. Who was that by?
That was 7206S.
We appreciate your robot love.
Yes.
Yeah,
thank you,
7206S. We love robots here.
Yeah.
Indeed. But not in that way.
I mean...
I do. If it's the James Marsden one from Westworld. I say that every time.
I just feel
bring
like
up robots.
The review portion of our show always takes a turn, guys.
Yep.
You don't feel all the love?
I mean, I do.
Jump on it.
I do feel all the love.
Ride it.
I mean...
Speaking of sex, Kara and Monel did it. They did it real hard.
Yeah.
Real good.
We opened with alien sex tonight.
We did.
They're listening to me.
Alien sex!
Go ahead.
We need to keep that forever. Because, the chat has just been yelling, alien sex, because they are my people. And about, we gotta talk about the morning after with Caramel. Was it sticky?
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, that was bad.
Wow.
I'll apologize. guys on the next podcast. When I get the comments.
See, but now I'm thinking about the joke about her accidentally breaking dudes' noses through that prism, and I'm horrified.
And Is this
through my prism? Yeah, that's a sick prism, buddy. You're like pointing.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's concerning. Things can break, and I just worry about Kara's sex life now. Like, it's. I was gonna say, was she being really gentle with humans, or is this her first time? Or, like, was she able to, like, go all out with aliens? I have a lot of questions about Kara's sex life now. Lucretia, can you help me with these alien sex questions?
Well, my only viewing of this is the Luke Cage, Jessica Jones sex scene. I'm just pissed that her furniture seemed intact. Yes. I'm guessing, because they're both aliens, there wasn't anything weird.
But she can fly.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
true.
You could imagine them levitating so as to keep everything intact.
Yeah, as Mon-El light as a feather and stiff as a board. Damn it, they're just too dirty. I was like, I wasn't even thinking it until I started to say it. And then I'm like, wait. Stop.
Yep.
It's perfection.
Don't let me say it.
Chat, fill in for my questions. Let me know. What do you think?
Also, reach out to the producers and ask them our questions on our behalf.
We are very concerned with alien sex. Much like Brody and Mallrats. Like, I really care a lot about superheroes and their sex organs.
The bits.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of questions.
Trademark.
Trademark,
Higgy
Bits.
Stanley, can you answer our questions? Or Jeff Johns, you know, guys, you know, we need to know.
I feel like Grant Morrison would have some interesting perspectives on this.
I'm
glad if apparently physical intimacy is a problem with humans, as I suppose it would be. It does stand to reason that it would be. I'm glad that there's somebody around who can actually physically sustain their body.
Yeah,
yay,
through
can.
That. What?
I said, yay, can.
Yay, can. Yep, that's what I got.
Okay.
You know, it's like once you go Dax them, nothing else hacks them. I don't know.
Okay.
Something like that. That's what they say, right?
Yes.
Nothing
yes.
else.
I've also heard
him.
All the others axe them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've heard that one too.
That one's good, Tori.
I mean, them Daxamites, they got all the sayings because they do all of the sex. They do all of it.
All of it.
They even have parties when two people get together. Am I right, Steph?
You are correct.
Thank you.
Possibly a parade. Like, he's going to throw her a parade. Like, Dax
that's
sounds
too
really
much.
Cool.
No. No one needs a parade just because you got together. That seems like a waste of confetti.
Maybe that's
who's
why...
Who's cleaning all of that up? People get together all the time. I'm just saying it's a lot of parades.
Maybe that's why Daxum fell, is because everybody was throwing couple parades instead of either, like, farming or maintaining the environment or protecting from bombs. I don't know.
Was I the only person who felt like Mon-El, by that reaction, probably does not have that much relationship experience before Kara? Like, it just felt like he was like, I want to, like, celebrate this in, like, a very middle school kind of way. Like, tell all my friends. Like,
well,
go
it seemed
to the
like perhaps just a cultural difference.
Maybe that was it. I don't know. It just felt like a very, like, middle school way of handling a relationship. Like, I'm gonna tell everybody I know about this, like, that I just got with this person, and, like, I want to have a celebration. This is so weird to not be celebrating. Like, I don't know. It just felt like maybe it was just the difference between them. I don't know.
It's certainly immature by Earth standards.
Well,
yes.
I mean, referencing the last episode where he was talking about how before now, he was just kind of a womanizer person. This is the first time he's ever, we could assume, felt anything for another person.
Like,
on that
been
deep
in
level.
A true relationship
right.
of sorts. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they are definitely in kind of a honeymoon period. They had been,
they're adorable.
Well, they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're the cutest.
I mean, she brought him flowers.
And coffee.
I know. Like, no, I love that you brought him flowers.
Yeah.
That was adorable. But I was like, you referred to it as the honeymoon period. I'm like, what honeymoon period includes quit picking on my dad?
So I was going to get... I really want to talk about this thing. So here's another... So I have another item on my non-caramel ship brigade.
Wow.
Everyone knows that I'm not a giant caramel fan.
Okay, right.
Mostly because I am essentially throwing on practical human social norms and social relationships onto their weird alien fictional relationship. Mm. And so it bothers me that throughout this episode, as you guys said, that we got this big regression in terms of their characters throughout the episode, but also Kara is so unsupportive of Mon-El, and it really bothers me. I don't know if that you guys feel the same way.
Yep,
I totally agree. I think it's a little bit more supportive.
Yeah, like, it's a fair complaint, but I think that they're, like, just figuring out their relationship. It's still, like, so new to them.
Right.
And so I'm not sure that I'm like, oh, she's unsupportive. I think they're just still figuring it out.
I have so many thoughts. One, okay, look, if somebody asks you to do something, just do it. Like, I have a really huge problem. I'm a person with not a lot of secrets, but the things I want to keep secret, like, should be kept secret. If you just burst into an office blurting things out, like, the relationship is doomed. It's over. Furthermore, for her to then just be like, I can't believe that you're not happy my dad's back, and how dare you suggest something incredibly plausible. Like, madam, the non-listening on both sides to me just suggests this relationship is going nowhere. I'm ready for this to be done.
Oh, I'm such a fan.
So I see both sides of this, because especially tonight, there was a lot that felt very high school-y to me about the way both of them were approaching their relationship with each other and how they were choosing to handle certain things. But the flip side to that, for me personally, is the two of them are so insanely charming separately, and they have such insane chemistry together that I can run with a lot of the why are you doing this right now or saying this right now, because they sell it so effectively. Right.
I see all the high school issues and the things that they're doing, and you're like, oh, that's kind of a nightmare. But also, I think their chemistry is adorable. Like, in real life, I would tell a friend to get out of this relationship.
Unless it looked like Mon-El, right? Because sometimes you can overlook a little bit.
Like, if a friend was like, this is how he's treating me, I'd be like, oh, I think you should probably get out of that. But on TV, the cutest relationship.
Bring Jimmy back.
Yo, where's he been?
Jimmy has been gone for two full episodes, and I don't appreciate it.
And the chat doesn't seem to care that Jimmy's gone either. And then we have a great, this is what I've been looking at, a comment on the, once you go Daxum, you never go Backsum, from Connor Pearson Ward.
Mm-hmm. Best one. We both missed it. It was there, and we didn't grab it. We left that one on the table.
Just too good not to repeat.
Yeah. All right. I'll accept that.
That's real feelings about it. Mm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Did you say you don't like it?
No, it's a valid response. I accept it.
This is how polite Tari really is. You guys don't even know.
Yes. Anyway.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Kara and Mon-El's relationship.
Yes.
And so I liked, one thing I will say that, like, kind of to Stephanie's point, is that they are growing, and Mon-El is really trying to figure out how to make this relationship work. And so we have that moment between him and Wynn where he's like, bro, I'm a terrible partner. How do I make that better? Mm. And Wynn gives him really good advice.
Super good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, essentially he's like, you're trying to be something, but you haven't asked her what she needs.
Mm-hmm. What I worry about with that, though, is that Wynn is giving him the good advice, and ultimately, should she be with Wynn then? Because he's the one who actually understands her.
But she would break his nose.
Yeah, I understand the technicalities. I was gonna say, I understand the technicalities.
His current lady friend has, like, the appropriate proportional strength.
You know what this feels like to me, and I'm so excited for it because I love this storyline. This is the but you have a good thing. Yeah, but I'm still in love with her. It feels like they're resurrecting the Wynn love for Kara. And I know you don't like it.
I don't know.
Wynn has constantly just been hanging around in the background. And when he says, just be good to her, didn't feel quite like friends to me.
Just a friend. Like, and that's what I hope. Because if that's how it is, it shows that men and women really can't be friends. And that's just not true.
Yes.
Lyra, I believe her name is, adorable. Mm-hmm. Don't break that up.
Well, for me,
they're having hot sex. They're not having a relationship.
I was going to say, too, that relationship, even if everybody means well in that scenario, a relationship between Wynn and Kara inevitably ends in Wynn being heartbroken, and I don't want that for the poor boy.
Yeah.
He's just so
cute. Out of your league, Wynn. Sorry.
I mean, I feel like he's almost getting out of her league in terms of he's had more relationship experience than her. He's had more, life experience than her. He's really, like, arced as a character, where she's still kind of like figuring things
this
out.
This is for sure how you like. It's a difference of how people would rank people, because Supergirl's like, she's Supergirl, she's like a hero, she's gorgeous, and like she can literally do anything. And so for some people, that makes her the catch. But Wynn is much more relatable. He's willing to make compromises and sacrifices, which are absolutely ingredients for a good relationship. And he actually has love to give. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kara is kind of she is self-involved, like, and it's not a strike necessarily against her as a person, but when it comes to her being involved in a relationship, she rarely stops and asks, what do you need?
Well, I think that it's also understanding that she has a ton on her plate. Like,
sure.
Like, it's, you know, like, Wynn has a seemingly relatively normal job and a normal existence outside of the fact that he's surrounded by aliens.
Wynn has to make sure that Guardian is protected. Wynn is working, you know, full-time at the deal. Like, Wynn has a lot going on too, but Wynn makes the time to make sacrifices, whereas Supergirl rarely has time for anything other than justice. And again, I won't fault her for that. Like, it's what makes her a beautiful person, what makes her a great superhero, but it makes her real bad at relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I just think that, yeah, like, it's just difference of like, what's your number one priority? And
absolutely,
clearly number one for her is Supergirl, or like protecting the universe, whatever you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She stands for truth, justice in the American way, guys.
Yeah.
Truth.
Yeah. Her mandibles are so developed.
For a strong jaw.
She takes a bite out of crime, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
from
my God.
LaGirl.
Chicago,
Illinois.
So thank you so much,
Patricia.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, man. All right.
Fox
so, do you guys, did I miss anything? Anything else you guys wanted to point out before we start moving into predictions?
Yes. We have Alex and Maggie at the end with that beautiful lesbians to save the day. Oh, so cute. I love lesbians. They're amazing. I really love their relationship. Talk about communication.
So
talk about making sacrifices.
Cute.
Like, the idea that Maggie just walks in and she's like, okay, so you're drinking and it's not been a good day. What? Oh, tears? Okay, that's cool. I got you. This is no problem.
I feel like they're the most stable ones.
Sure.
Yeah, yep. Like, really cute, stable relationship.
Do not kill Maggie. You're not allowed to do that to me.
Don't do it.
I'm not talking to you fans, but if we have listeners for the show.
I mean, you guys don't do it either.
Don't kill Maggie. That's rude.
These all get on their fanfic typewriters.
I agree. I think this is an absolutely incredible relationship that we're seeing get built and get explored, and I thought it was a wonderful scene tonight, as it always is. I appreciated that was the emotional state we left Alex in, and not because I enjoy her pain, but because it retroactively justifies some of the hard lefts that we saw in this episode that I was referring to earlier, because if somebody is hitting these big emotional turns so hard so many times in one day, yeah, by the end of it, they're going to be a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, especially because kind of rewinding in terms of the, like, lesbian stuff and also, like, her emotional state, like, she got to introduce her girlfriend to her father only to have that same man betray her in the end.
I mean, if that happened to you...
I didn't even draw that conclusion. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, if that happened to you in one day, like, yeah, you would be, like... To have it all together would be a shock, and she clearly had lost it.
Yeah.
How awful. We know how hard it was for them coming out, and she did it, and it was so great. It was so beautiful for him to be like, well, no man deserved her, so it had to be something. It was just, perfect words, and then for
sweet.
Her to, she just had her dad back. Poor Alex. She just went through so much this episode. So much.
And there was this moment in the scene, and it was very quick, very small moment, but where Alex goes to pour herself another drink, and Maggie says, no, don't pour another drink. It's just like, actually talk to me. And it's what, I don't know, like, I can make, English.
Yes.
I'm having a hard time verbalizing exactly what about that moment affected me so much.
It's a small moment of care. Like, it's a very great visual way of showing, like, this person really cares for this person.
Well,
yeah.
I think, like, in relationships, it's ultimately those small moments that make up, like, those bigger feelings, and to see that in a show, I think that's rare, because oftentimes it's like, oh, they're holding hands, and it's, like, super blatant, and they're getting into that nuanced love, and that's really sweet.
Yeah, this moment of don't numb this out, don't harm yourself in this way by self-medicating with alcohol, stop, I'm here, I know you need me now, I am here for you, and it's a real, it's a beautiful moment.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Lesbians.
Just love.
Aww. And with that, I think we should move into predictions.
Predictions!
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Predictions, dictions, dictions.
More Dadbot.
Yes. Yeah. So, Dadbot, or as we called him, Evil Dad.
Evil Dad!
Had stolen the registry of aliens, so he's using that, and Cadmus is using that to essentially steal aliens next time.
So, that A is straight up horrifying. Yes. B, the inclusion of what looked like a big helicarrier at the end gave me serious Winter Soldier flashbacks, because until I get more information about this plan, it's basically Project Insight, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Where you've got a list of all these quote-unquote targets, and you're just going to wipe them out however many at a time using a big floaty ship thing.
Yeah, sure.
And you have your old friend with a robot arm.
Yeah.
Guys, it's Winter Soldier. So what do you guys think is going to happen in the next episode? And furthermore, based on any clues that we got in this season, or for the season, based on anything we got in this episode?
I think we will see Alex come out much harder than we saw her here. Like, she, the way she defended her dad, I think she's going to go after him. And not in a kill way, but in a, I need answers, and I need you not to ruin my sister. Because usually at the end of the day, Alex's, like, cornerstone is Kara. So I'll be interested to see that. I would really like to see Jimmy come back as guardian or as editor of Cat Guy. Don't care, but just bring him back, please. Then I also think that hopefully we'll get Lana. Yes, Lana to come back.
Lena,
thank you. You know, and maybe say, hey, what's this list? Can we? Because I mean, she's been pretty good against her mom in battle so far. So that'd be kind of cool to see her maybe help in a more administrative way, right, since she's not going to be on the battlefield.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What do you think, Lex?
What do I think? Well, okay. So do we talk about it now? The fact that it's been revealed who Kevin Sorbo and Terry Hatcher are playing.
So for anyone who doesn't want any quote unquote spoilers, this is definitive information for the next episodes to come. So spoiler warning right now. As of now, if you're watching on YouTube, my hands are waving.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Yep.
Spoiler alert!
Oh, I want one of those to keep with me at all times.
Just put it on your phone,
so,
son.
So, all right. So, yeah, if you don't want to be spoiled for something that I think we're going to get revealed in a couple of weeks anyway. Unless they're fake newsing us. Kevin Sorbo and Terry Hatcher are playing Mon-El's parents, the king and queen of Daxam.
Yes. Nice. So that was revealed in a tweet from Kevin
Smith.
It was
Kevin Smith, and like he did an Instagram photo, right, with the three of them together.
Uh-huh. So it's now, I mean, not that that reveals anything. It could be in the past, it could be in the present, it could be at any moment
in
time.
But what it does reveal definitively is we know that that makes, by extension, Mon-El the Prince of Daxam. Sorry, we're in the spoiler bubble.
I feel like we've also discussed that possibility.
Before we had this confirmed for us, we were basically like, guys, he's the prince.
And we saw the aliens on the slave planet bowing to him. There's been a lot of clues that he's some level of royalty.
Right, but. And with that reveal, as we got that news, I started to wonder about kind of the evolution of Kara as a girlfriend. Like, he obviously has secrets, but she may be meeting his parents, possibly. I don't know. I would think that would be a real possibility at this point.
I don't know. He said this week that he would run from his father if he saw him.
So I don't know. Like, I'm just interested to see how she handles those secrets, and ultimately, as we talk about, she's not particularly mature in this relationship, and how she evolves as a girlfriend.
I think that will be the ultimate test for her and what she's willing to accept. Because there's got to be a reason he's kept it a secret for so long.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think, Double L?
Well, that's the thing is I was so glad when I heard Terry Hatcher was coming. And then to find out she's Mon-El's mom and that they're evil, Kevin Sorbo. I mean, we got Lois and Hercules. I'm pretty excited. And I do hope that they're alive and these aren't just flashbacks.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. All right, cool. I don't think I have anything super duper spectacular to predict. All you guys have really hit all the things that I like. So, I'm going to wrap this baby up. I'm going to, like a Christmas present, we're going to wrap this baby up. Thank you for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. Just a reminder, hit that thumbs up if you can. Like and subscribe so you can keep getting this every week. Because we're here every week, Mondays, 10 o'clock, Pacific Standard Time. Pacific Daylight Time? Pacific Standard Time. One of those depends on the week. All right. So, between now and then, tell them where they can find you, kiddos.
You can find me at Stephanie Wenger on Twitter and Instagram. Tell me your thoughts on the episode.
I am all over social media at TheLexMichael, and if you're a fan of DC on the CW on ABTV, I'm all over it. I'm here on Mondays, and so are you. Hi! I am also talking about Legends of Tomorrow on Tuesday nights with Lucretia. Not this Tuesday night, though, for some reason. It's not on, but next week it'll be back. And Wednesdays, I talk about Arrow with Tari J. Miller. Come nerd out with us and talk about all these shows. It's great. We love you.
Great.
Mwah, kiss.
Hey, guys. I'm Joel Monique. You find me all over the internet at Joel Monique every week at BlackGirlNerds.com. Wednesdays here at Pool Double Duty, where we're the book circle online, where we do the comic book exchange. It's me and Lex and Lucretia and our buddy Frank talking about comics. I don't remember what our topic is this week, but you should join us because it's always a rip-roaring good time. I also do Magicians on Wednesday. It's one of my favorite shows. Magic. It's beautiful. Las Vegas, Friday through Sunday for Klexicon. Come check me out. Say hey if you're lesbian. Say double hey. I'll be around. Hope to see ya.
Thanks, God. Lucretia.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since I'm the only one. Yeah, I need to go to sleep, guys. You know where I'm at.
Oh, man. We are so loopy. You can find me at Tari J. That's TARIJAY. Also on all the shows that everyone else said, with the addition of Arrow, no, you already said that.
Got
and Grimm on Sundays. I'm all over the place. And here every Monday at 10 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time or Pacific Daylight Time, depending on when you are. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Until then, have a super time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The Terminator!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.